You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James and alongside Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN, and at least for the next 2 weeks, an unofficial podcast of Team Finland. Thank you guys for joining us here tonight. We just finished watching the game between Canada and Sweden. Oh my goodness, what a great start to the tournament. If you're the NHL, you cannot ask for anything better than that. It was fantastic from start to finish. There was drama. There was 10-minute overtime. There was incredible saves by Gustafsson and Binnington. And I actually was happy for both because it was fun. It was weird. Cheering for Jordan Binnington. But nonetheless, gentlemen, it was fantastic to watch that game. James, you didn't get a chance to watch it all that much. But Chris, what's your initial thoughts on the game, though? What did you think?
Yeah, all the feels from the 2016 World Cup of Hockey just rushed back in within the first minute. That goal with Crosby with the behind-the-back pass to MacKinnon was insane. And then after that, I was all the way back in. This needs to happen every 2 years, and it looks like that's the plan going forward, which is also just fantastic.
It was just you said it exactly right, Chris. Like everything about this game brought me right back to 2016, and it's the first best on best tournament we've seen when it comes to international hockey. This feels like one of the few times that the NHL has gone into a break for something and they've gotten it right. Like that we've been telling them for years, get rid of the All-Star game. Like, sure, keep the super skills competition, but get rid of the All-Star game because it doesn't really count. No one really cares for it all that much. I was very curious to see how the players would react to this. And they didn't disappoint. Like nobody backed off.
Chris's mic muted.
It was fantastic. And
oh, what?
That's good.
He's really delayed. I think you're good now.
Okay, I'm gonna try and talk. But either way, I think it's gonna be good for the All-Star game too. Because after the announcement of the World Cup of Hockey coming back in 2028 and the tentative plan of going every other year with alternating between Olympics and World Cup of Hockey. In between that, there's still going to be All-Star games. But I think that this international play and this break during the season where an All-Star game would have been is going to make the All-Star games better too. Because you're going to have a break from the awesomeness of international hockey and you're going to be able to just see your favorite players be on the ice at the same time. I think it's going to make that even better too. It's not going to make it a competitive game by any means, but it's going to make it more fun to enjoy some casual pond hockey in the middle of the season if it's broken up in this way. So I think it's just going to be great all the way around, and you have to give credit to the NHL here. We complain a lot about the NHL, the dumb decisions that they make, but they saw what baseball did with their international tournament. They saw how viral it went, and they said, we're an even more international sport. We have to do that. And they did it. And they did it quickly with this right here. And they set up for the Olympics and have now set up to do it going into the future. So I give them a ton of credit for getting it figured out. And this is going to be great for hockey. It was blowing up on Twitter. It was like number one, number two all night long. I think it still is. So it's a great thing for hockey. It's a great thing for the players. They love it. It's a great thing for the fans. It was a fantastic game.
And so again, this is one of the few times where they actually like get it right. Yeah. And I mean, for all the things we talk about, like best sport, worst league, this is one of the few times they've actually gotten it right. And they're finally starting to figure out, hey, this stuff may actually make us more money doing tournaments like this. Now, I think that the rest of the tournament is just going to be hyped just because of this one game. This one game, I mean, it's Canada and it's Sweden. There's not a huge rivalry there, but it's still two nations who are very much embroiled in hockey. That built up the rest of the tournament, in my opinion. Absolutely. I mean, when you saw Mario Lemieux come out and he dropped the opening, the ceremonial puck drop, that was really cool. When Crosby gets onto the ice in 3-on-3 overtime, which by the way was 10 minutes, which they should be doing in the regular NHL too. Please implement that. When he, you know, hits the ice and they chanting his name, I mean, that is so cool. I mean, like that's just things you don't normally get in a regular NHL game that you get to see. And then those things kind of like live in people's memories for forever. Yeah. So, I mean, it's only going to get better from this point, in my opinion. And it makes me even more excited to see the game tomorrow night.
And even implementing the 10-minute overtime. They didn't have to do that. They could have absolutely just kept it the exact same. And they changed it. They were like, we want to see our best players finish it playing hockey. And it just so happens that the first game gives us that perfect moment with Crosby getting that third assist and Canada winning it while playing hockey instead of a stupid shootout. So more credit to the NHL. Just everything tonight just went their way. All the stuff they've done with this international tournament and announcing the more international tournaments to come is just been perfect. So tons of home runs for the NHL tonight.
And the other thing that I like is the point system they implemented as well. You get 2 points for an overtime win instead of and you get 3 points for a regulation win. So they're emphasizing regulation wins, which is a big deal because, I mean, players say it all the time, 3-on-3 isn't really like full hockey. It's fun to watch and it's a lot of skill, but it's back and forth. Sometimes it can be a coin flip. So it's really that's a nice thing that I didn't know was going to happen.
Okay, so we can there's so much stuff we could talk about with this whole Four Nations tournament. Obviously there's so many different storylines you could jump into. You could jump into the goaltending depth with Canada and how weak they kind of look there. You can jump into the whole fact that the Finnish blue line looks completely redacted with Ristolainen being out, with Heiskanen being out, and there's one other person I'm thinking. Someone help me off the top of my head.
Hakanpaa was in that.
Hakanpaa, yes. Well. Yes, so Hakanpaa not being able to go either. And now the only player that has played NHL games that is not on the Finnish roster right now. Oh, I literally had his name. No, Mikkola is on the roster. Point being, there's only one Finnish defenseman that has played games in the NHL this year that is not on the Team Finland roster right now on the defensive side. So they're all kind of, you know, all banged up. From a Stars perspective, you've got all sorts of representation. In Canada, you've got Jim Nill being an AGM. You've got Pete DeBoer being an assistant coach running the defense. Obviously, Otter's probably going to get at least a game. Any other team, and he's probably the starter, but because it's freaking Connor Hellebuyck. And then for the Finnish guys, obviously we got Roope, you got Esa, you've got Granlund, who is now a Dallas Star, and then Miro, who should be there as well. So there's so many different things you can talk about with this team, but who do you think is gonna win the whole thing?
I think the favorite is still the USA, just with how deep their roster is, and especially considering the game tonight. I mean, Canada obviously looked insane the first period. It looked like they were going to just mop the floor with Sweden and make it a blowout. But with Sweden being able to come back and really push on them throughout the second and the third period, they were all downhill. It makes you think, hey, maybe Canada's not as strong as the roster seems. Now, you look at the first power play, and it's like, that's crazy. The big meme online was the sentence McDavid to Crosby to McKinnon for the goal should not be allowed. That should
That's
be
not
illegal.
Fair. That is absolutely not fair.
Which is true. But then you look at the rest of the game, and Sweden is, on paper, a much worse team. And they really took it to them in two of the three periods. So I think USA still has an advantage over them, especially in the goaltending department. Like you said, USA has the top three goalies in this tournament.
I really think that's more of a testament to Sweden overall, is a lot of the players that are on that team have played together many times before. So it's something that you're going to hear talked about during the broadcast, is both Sweden and Finnish players, they're very used to playing with each other. National teams are set up very well.
Yep.
And it's just fantastic to watch. And I mean, hats off to Sweden. Seriously. I thought that when they went up 3-1, I was just like, all right, this is Canada's game. And it eventually would be, but you know, Sweden gets a point. It's almost like a gain of 2 points for them. If we're being completely and totally honest, they were the underdog there. They didn't allow Canada to get 3 points, and then they got a point for themselves on top of that. So it's almost like a 2 point swing for them in a way, where they can still have a chance to be in the final game.
Yep. And Gustafsson was absolutely insane tonight. I mean, that was crazy. That he save. Kept them in there.
Oh
completely.
My gosh. Yeah. That save in the third period. That was so cool. And I forgot who it was in on Discord, but I think it might've been Matthew who said, it's kind of nice to watch hockey and not be so stressed out about it, because it's not fully enveloped in just the Stars. It's fun to watch the greatest sport in the world when you don't have, you know, so much on it. It's so stress-free, and it makes it so much fun. So, you know, I still think that Canada has a shot to win the whole thing, but I'm actually going to go out and say that be with you, Chris, and say the U.S. is gonna win, and that's even with Quinn Hughes dropping out. We haven't even really talked about that. There was a possibility that both Team Canada's captain and Team USA's captain were both gonna drop out, and Sidney Crosby is still able to play tonight, and Quinn Hughes is not able to play. So that's unfortunate, but
Crosby still able to play was an understatement. I mean, that was crazy. The dude almost didn't join the roster, and then he's probably by far the best player that Canada had tonight. Those three primaries were insane. The first play of the game, a spinorama backhand pass across the crease, and it just lets McKinnon dunk it. That is insane. That was such a cool game. It was so awesome to see Crosby do that. And this is why we missed international hockey so much, is that the storyline, especially after 2016, is like Crosby's won everything now. He's won Olympics. He's won cups. He's won the World Cup of Hockey. He's won juniors. And hey, let's just make up a new tournament to let Crosby win. That's kind of the storyline for me from this game, is that Crosby's on a quest for another random trophy that we made up for him to try and win.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably pretty nice for McKinnon to get one of those dunks. Normally he's the one setting those up.
He's the one passing those.
Well, if we're being totally honest, it's sometimes the NHL kind of likes to write their storylines, and they push it a little bit when it doesn't fully make sense. But tonight did absolutely made sense for Sidney Crosby to get the first star of the game, and it wrote the storyline perfectly. Like as the NHL, you could not have asked for a better storyline and a better start to the tournament. Now, there is one angle I do want to take you guys on a little bit. Now, the big thing about this is there are a lot of players that are, you know, some of the best players in the world, but they have no representation in the Four Nations tournament. Now, some of them are probably fine right now because they're on vacation and they're chilling out and having fun, right? But at some point, it would be nice to be able to see like a Team Germany and see Tim Stützle and Leon Draisaitl, and then, you know, some other countries that are not being represented, like Czechia and Slovakia and some of those.
But there's already plans for that to happen. That's already going to happen in the Olympics, and they've already said World Cup of Hockey is going to expand to 8 teams, so that's for sure going to happen in World Cup of Hockey too. So this is just they wanted to do an international tournament as soon as they could to capitalize on what baseball did and to put their foot in the door and say, hey, we are actually doing this. So they put this together quickly, and it has been fantastic to start. And I think it's a perfect start to this new era of international hockey.
So do you think that they're going to add anything else? Do you think they'll do like a Four Nations face-off again, or are they just going to do this is just a one-off thing, and then it's just going to be World Cup of Hockey every
year? Yeah, they've already said that. They said that in the press release, that's going to be World Cup of Hockey, and – And then the plan is to alternate between Olympics and World Cup of Hockey.
So, all right. So what would be the eight teams then? Obviously Canada, US, Finland, Sweden.
Well, I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of qualification or something, or maybe they go off the results of the previous tournament. Maybe one team is relegated each time a tournament happens or something like that. But I'd guess it'd be these four, probably Russia, if world politics ever shakes
Russia,
itself
Czechia.
Out.
Yeah, that's six.
Probably Czechia and probably
Slovakia.
Germany,
probably there's eight
Slovakia.
Right there.
Yeah, probably I would say those eight are probably the ones that are the ones you'd pick off the top of your head. But I mean, there's other teams that
in there.
Right. And there's other teams that are absolutely in that mix, especially in those bottom two. So that's why I think some type of relegation promotion would be interesting between at least for World Cup of Hockey, because I think Olympics does have a qualification type system similar to how FIFA works, but for World Cup of Hockey that'll be a little bit more difficult, I think.
And I think it's like Latvia is one of those better countries, right, as well, that always gets in via that direction like you're talking about, Chris. But I mean, there's some really good Latvian players too, like Silovs of the Vancouver Canucks. He was like a god at the World Championships for them, either last year or the year before. Like, he was like the most popular person in the country for a while because of what he did at the World Championships for them. So,
and that's what makes the best on best kind of difficult, is that, yeah, we can get these NHL players away for 2 to 4 weeks in February to go play these international tournaments, but you can't have them also randomly in November to play the qualification tournaments. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
And so here's the other question that some people have been talking about as well, is like where they put it schedule wise. Do you agree with where it is? It makes sense because it's replacing the All-Star game, but some people are saying, well, if they get hurt at this point in the season, like the NHL regular season, that puts their doubts in, you know, it makes it where they might not be able to play in the playoffs. Like Shea Theodore gets hurt tonight for Team Canada, and now the Golden Knights are like, well, is he didn't return? I mean, and so there's an argument to put it at the beginning of the season, but then the argument for putting it at the beginning of the season is the players are not ramped up. They're not playing their full best hockey at all. They're starting to get in shape a little bit better, remember how a game is supposed to go, that sort of thing. So,
well,
I mean, is there really like a perfect time to do it?
The bigger problem with doing it at the beginning of the year is that there's this little sport going on called football. So no one's going to be watching the World Cup of Hockey when football season is just getting started. And that's why the All-Star game has been where it's been at right after the Super Bowl. That's why this tournament is happening right when it's happening. And that's why they've announced the World Cup of Hockey is going to happen in February, because it's after football and they can capitalize on the hype of people coming off football. And hey, come watch some international hockey where all these guys are going crazy and having 4-3 overtime games and Crosby's getting 3 primary assists.
And I get the idea of players getting hurt in this tournament, but if you're playing normal NHL games too, you're going to get hurt in those as well. Yep. So, I mean, there is some concern where, oh, they got hurt in a tournament that doesn't matter for the NHL
quote
season.
Unquote. Yeah.
Yeah. But this type of stuff matters just as much to the players as the NHL season, regular season.
I think it almost means more.
It really, it depends on the player, but yeah.
For players like Crosby, he's not going to the playoffs. I mean, this is what he's playing for this year.
That's true. That's a good point.
I think that's why he shows up today in such a huge way, because this is playoffs right now. He's not going to be playing come end of April.
Well, I mean, same for like players like Jordan Binnington and for Travis Konechny. And there's some players in Team Sweden who are also probably not going to the playoffs either. So that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that, Chris.
And the other argument for the injuries is this is just more of what we talked about kind of at the offseason this year. Sometimes you have to think about what is best for the long-term growth of the sport. And yes, if Shea Theodore does actually have a broken wrist and he's out for the start of the playoffs, that's really bad for short term Vegas and for their fans. It's not good. But for long term of hockey fandom growing, Shea Theodore playing in an international tournament is better for hockey fans as a whole, and it's better for the sport as a whole, I think.
And then the other thing about this, too, guys, is when you do the World Cup of Hockey, and this is something that I think they're – I don't know if they have answers for it yet. If they expand it to eight teams and to eight nations like they want to, it almost feels like that they have to use international players, not just NHL players. Do you think that's coming?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I absolutely agree that it should be.
And especially, like we said, for those bottom two teams and whoever makes it in there, they probably are going to come from international leagues, and they're probably not going to have played on NHL ice before. And that's going to be really interesting too.
And then that's the other question too, is like, do they play on international ice as well?
World Cup of Hockey is going to be on NHL ice with NHL rules, with NHL refs.
Okay. That's something I hadn't fully gotten into. I didn't even get a chance to look at the announcement.
That'll be fun too, though, when you get to compare the two tournaments, the Olympics, yes. And so that'll be really fun to look at and be like, okay, who won this tournament versus this tournament, and why and how, and
even
so be something fun to watch.
Even in between international tournaments, we're gonna be able to see something different, and that's gonna be a lot of fun too. And that's what's the All-Star game has been such a problem for. Like, when it was first introduced, it was fun to see all your favorite players playing at the same time, and they were still playing hard for the fans. Now that it's not as much of a big deal, breaking it up with stuff like this is just the way to make it not monotonous and boring. And I think this is going to be just good for all of that.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, which ice surface will win off? Do you think eventually the NHL's ice surface is going to start transferring to the rest of the world? Or do you think that the international community is going to be staunch and stern and say, no, we're keeping our ice surface? What do you think?
Nothing's gonna happen. It's going to stay the exact same.
That's what I think, and I'll explain it. Because European hockey already has a culture of its own. If you go look at, like German hockey, for example, their fans are crazy. They're like soccer fans. It is super cool to see how excited German hockey fans get. And that's same for the Swedish league, same for all those. And they're committed and they have tradition of playing on that larger ice surface. So I don't think the NHL needs to try and take that away. It's already known, if you're a top European player, you're going to have to learn how to play on the smaller ice surface. That's just a part of the game. And that's a part of your development process as a European player. Now, in areas where the NHL is trying to expand and they're pushing the game, like in Asia and in those areas, I think they'll want to, and they should push the NHL ice surface to at least have it standardized as much as they can. And that's where they're pushing, so they can control that.
Yeah, fair enough. So I'm really excited for the game tomorrow night. USA, Finland, it's going to be really weird to see to see these players playing together. You haven't seen it for like almost 10 years. It's been 8 years, but almost a decade where we've seen anything like this. So it's going to be a ton of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And I am a little worried about Finland. Like you said, we've got defensemen on Finland that are primarily playing in the AHL. So if any team is the underdog, it's Finland for sure. But like James also said, they have a big culture of playing in international tournaments even after the NHL season, and those guys play a lot together. So, I mean, maybe team togetherness can help push them through, but, man, they're going to miss Miro, and we're going to see 30 minutes from
Essa.
I can't think of his name. It fell out of my head. Stars defenseman.
Essa,
thank you. Good night.
No, it's okay. we just have –
How late is it?
Yeah. You get in front of a camera sometimes, or in front of a microphone, and you're all like, I know the answer to this. Like, I know this. And it just disappears. It's okay. Where do your allegiances really lie for the Four Nations tournament? Is it with Finland USA. Or is it with the U.S.? Okay. James?
I think it'd be really cool just for upset sake to go for Sweden or Finland. So I don't care which one. I'm going for both of those, though.
Maximum chaos.
Exactly.
Maximum chaos. Yep. I don't care. USA or Finland, I would be okay with either.
Y'all are unpatriotic.
Miracle. Anyways, okay. Let's move off of that. We'll be looking forward to that game tomorrow night between USA and Finland. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. The playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers pay $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Originally, what I wanted to start off this episode with, before I decided to push off the episode for a little bit so we could watch the game, the trade market is obviously still a buzz. And even with players at the Four Nations tournament, I think the idea and what the NHL wants is they don't want any big trades going on right now, right? They want all the attention being just on the Four Nations tournament. However, there have been some speculation and some conversations, I guess you could say, that's not going to deter the NHL GMs if they have an opportunity to do something. There's no roster freeze right now, so they can make a trade if they wanted to. First off, just in general, I'll open up this question. Is it likely that we see any trade during these 2 weeks?
Any trade? I'm still going to say no. But that's like a 60-40 bet, so it's not super confident.
I mean, during the break, I would say yes. Maybe it'll happen on the Friday after the championship game.
Right. Because that doesn't count.
There's no way that, like, GMs are not just going to go crazy with this break time, because there's so much downtime right now. They're going to get some... Obviously, they're going to take a break themselves, but they're going to get some chances to have some conversations that normally they wouldn't have a chance to.
I think we're going to see one. I really do. I know everyone has been talking about the Rantanen trade for the last couple of weeks here, and it doesn't really sound like there's been a whole lot of, you know, progress made between Rantanen and Carolina about getting him signed. So there's been a lot of speculation again as to whether Carolina could literally flip him around and he'd be on his third team in less than a month when the trade deadline comes. But I mean, if you're Carolina and he's like flat out saying, no, I'm not going to sign. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You just gave up a whole bunch of assets for him. So I don't know. But
what you're supposed to do is make sure he's going to sign before you trade
right.
for him.
That is absolutely correct.
But that's part of the risk that you're also taking and maybe
have seen deals that were contingent upon him signing an extension. So that's not a risk you have to take. That's a risk they decided to take. And it is not paying off, it looks like.
And that's a very good way of putting it. But specifically with the Dallas Stars, since we are a Dallas Stars podcast, we're 30 minutes in, we haven't even talked about the Stars really. There seems to be a belief among Stars media and Stars fan alike, and I'll get y'all's thoughts on it, that Jim Nill is not done. If Jim Nill is done, I think it's okay. Is it a team that is be quiet, Chris. Hold on. Let me monologue for a second. Is it a team that you can definitively say that they are going to make a deep run in the playoffs? Yes. Are they going to win the cup? That's where you have to ask the question where you can't be 100% on that. And a lot of people believe that this team is one player, maybe two players away. Where are y'all's thoughts at? You don't have to throw out names yet, but maybe what do you think the Stars need, or do they not need anything?
There's no way to be definitive that you're a cup team. If you can go deep in the playoffs, you can win the cup. I mean, the ability to be going deep in the playoffs is as far as you can confidently guess, really, for a team, in my opinion. I don't think you can tell a difference between a conference finals team and a Stanley Cup final team before they're playing in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think they should add something. He's got all the space to do it. He's got all the assets to do it. And I think it would be dumb not to. I mean, there's obvious holes. You can look at the hole, obviously, on the right side of the defense, which is especially big if Miro can't play round one, game one. Then that's massive. That's a big deal. But if you can get through round one without Miro, you have a high chance of getting him in round two from what it sounds like from injury reports. So that's a big one. But as we've talked about, and me and James have kind of been on the bandwagon of, the past three times the Stars have been knocked out of the playoffs is because the scoring dried up. So yeah, our forwards are crazy deep right now, but when you don't have the top scoring forward that other teams do, it has to be crazy deep to match that. So I'm still, if Miro will come back, if he can come back round one, game one, you're confident of that, and he can play reliable minutes, I think you get another goal scorer, and you just have the craziest fourth line that has ever existed in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I think we already have a crazy fourth line. If everyone's healthy, it's ridiculous. Like, we're talking about Granlund being on the fourth line. Some people are.
Yeah. Yeah. You might have Granlund Stankoven on the fourth line or Bort Steele Stankoven.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Really, what this team has been good enough to win the cup the past 2 years and they fell short. So sometimes, like, I look at the team now, and if Miro Heiskanen is going to be healthy for the playoffs, this team is more than capable of winning the cup against any team in the NHL. They can beat any team in a seven game series. I mean, that is, I don't think that's a stretch even to say. This is one of the most competitive Stars teams that has ever played. You can add more. You can make the team better. You should make the team better. But if I'm looking at it now and knowing what this team can already do and has already done, they can win the cup as they are structured now.
So what are you saying, James?
Add or don't add?
They don't have to add anything.
But
honestly.
Should they?
Should they? Probably. It would be smart. Everyone should add going into the playoffs.
James is very smart. He's tiptoeing the line. You see,
he is tiptoeing.
That's a perfect podcast answer, right?
That's
there.
A political answer, is what that is. But
it's
but the right answer, though.
This team is more than good enough
They
have been.
It is the right answer. But if they have the space and they have the capital to make a move to make the team better, even if it's marginally better, even if it's a depth defenseman, I think you have to do it for a team that's this good. And they have the space, they have the capital. So I don't think we need to be scrooging our third round pick or anything like that over a good player that could help us win.
Okay, but here's the problem, though. Are there players out there that can do that?
Yeah, there's plenty of depth defensemen that would be helpful
exactly.
right now
okay,
to get rid of Dumba. Right now, Dumba is a depth defenseman for us, and he shouldn't be. If we can have someone to replace Dumba, anybody, that's worth it.
I would even say Petrovic at this point, in my opinion. I'd rather see Petrovic up here. That's another conversation. We'll talk about that in a second. But here's my thing, and this is where I'm at. It was just a revelation I had just now listening to you talk, Chris, was I don't think we need more scoring. Here's what I think needs to happen. What we need to see is we need to see one of these stars' best players become a superstar, for lack of a better term. We have a bunch of really good players. We have people that can be superstars, and we have seen some of our players in the past be superstars in the playoffs. Okay, we've seen Wyatt Johnston score, not points wise over a duration of period, but he has scored really big goals in the playoffs the last 2 years. We've seen Roope Hintz, not last year, but 2 years ago, be that exact player and led the playoffs in scoring and points. We have players that can do this. And another player that has been completely absent in terms of the playoffs is Jason Robertson.
It's
not elite level. Like when you're talking about but that's what you need, even if it's just for a period of time and it gets hot, and that's what you need from those players, and that's right. when your best players have to be your best players.
But
and there's not anybody out there, Chris. Brock Nelson is not going to be the answer to come in and be
Hold on.
Let me finish. So where I'm going with this is that where I think they need the help on is I think they need the help on the defensive side. I still think that if they have, if they get Miro back and they have Miro, Essa, Harley, Labushkin, I think that is a more than capable top four, right? If you could go out there and capitalize on one particular player that we've talked about last week, and we're going to circle around him here in just a second, that is the Joe Nieuwendyk trade that you need to go out and make. If you're dead serious, hold on. If you're dead serious about winning the cup this year, that is the missing link right now.
But before you get to the Joe Nieuwendyk trade, the solution you're proposing is that our best players need to play better. And I mean, yes, I would like them to play better, but like that's not something that is controllable really. So I don't think Robertson or Roope is going to magically become McDavid or McKinnon once the playoffs start. So what you can control is you can add more depth scoring.
And the other thing that I'll say is we talk about how Robertson has been kind of absent in the playoffs. He's our best playoff player.
Right.
Since he's been in the playoffs, he has the most points on the team, tied for the most goals. It's the whole team is just all right there. They're all in the same spot. They're all very, very good
They're
players.
All very good.
And it just sometimes it dries up. Other teams find a way to just strangle them, really.
Not even other teams. Sometimes one player beats you. Sometimes McDavid comes out and he wins the conference finals game six. Or was it? It was game five. But whatever.
It was game six when he did that.
Oh, it was game six.
You're right.
But it just the best player in the world just beats you sometimes. And the Stars don't have a guy that can just beat other teams the way McDavid did that to Dallas.
I don't believe that adding another guy that can score you goals will be more beneficial in the long run than a guy on the defensive side. That's just my personal opinion on all of this. Just because go ahead.
I think either one would be good, by the way. So I'm not fully disagreeing with you.
Yeah, yes. And I'm just disagreeing with you in the fact that we need to see one of those three guys in particular step up and be an elite player in the playoffs. And I know he's not top, like they're not top 10. None of those guys are top 10. But in the playoffs, we need one of those guys to be top 10, and they need to level up their game. So that's just my personal opinion. That's all. Okay, I'll circle around it. Y'all know where I'm going.
Real quick, we got a super chat. I didn't even know these were going to pop yet. But Ardell, he's combating my comment of saying not to Scrooge second round picks. But he says notable second round picks, hence Robo Stankoven. So yeah, that's true. But for how many second round picks that are good, like those three, how many second round picks do the Stars have that never even sniffed the NHL? I'm sure there's a good bit of those too. So there's absolutely something to be said for those picks and potentially missing out on franchise players like those people are or are projecting to become. But when you have such a good team like the Stars have right now, like James said, I think a player that could become that guy that has a 10% chance of becoming that guy isn't worth a guy that can help you win a cup now, potentially. Now we can do your Joe Nieuwendyk foil.
Okay. And this is not going to be very popular either because of what, at least I, this is what Sean has said about this. Okay. Sean Shapiro. Sorry. I should have been more specific. I'm on a first name basis with those. No, I'm just kidding. I asked him about, Noah Dobson. I don't think it's, a coincidence that the news comes out today that he's switched agents. So I don't know if that means he's, looking to sign a longer-term deal with the New York Islanders, but there's been some smoke there that they may be looking to trade him. And I kind of asked, what would it take to get Noah Dobson here? And I said, Stankoven or Maverick Bourque. And he said, in all reality, you would probably have to give up both or one of them and a first-round pick with that. For me, that seems like a slam dunk for both teams because New York is a team that does not have a lot of young players that can score, and Dallas needs a right-handed defenseman that absolutely needs to be able to play a lot of minutes and play with Miro Heiskanen. I mean, it seems too good of a deal to go and do that. The one thing, people are already pulling it up. Nate and Mato, too expensive, and to a certain extent, that is true. Yes, that is the one big downside. He will be an RFA, so I just don't know where we want to go with this. I think this is one of those trades that you kind of make that makes a lot of sense that can put you over the top because you get this guy. Not only are you solidifying your present, but you're also solidifying your future with a guy who's 25. That's just my personal opinion. I will ring that bell until March 3rd or whenever the trade deadline is.
Yeah, and I fully get that. I think Noah Dobson is a great fit. He's a guy that is confident with the puck and is a solid defenseman who's the same age as Miro. It seems like that's the guy we've been waiting for, the Messiah coming to finally push Miro up to the place he belongs. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Jim Neal was very adamant about in his press conference after acquiring Granlund and CeCe that the three blue chip prospects, Bischel, Bourque, and Stankoven, are not on the table and they're not movable in his mind. And I agree with what you said. I think at least one of Bourque or Stankoven would have to move if you're going to get Dobson. And I don't think that Neal's going to do it. I would do Maverick in a first. I would be willing to do that to get Dobson. But I don't think Neal is.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of it just makes all of Stars fandom mouth just water. Because it's like that is the thing we've been talking about since Miro has been in the league.
Absolutely.
And it's not like Jim Neal hasn't been hunting for it either. It's just whenever there's that perfect candidate like this, the price is always so high.
Yep.
And that is just... It's not how Jim Neal runs his team. It's not. He's very true to his players, and it's just how it works out.
And that's why he tried to develop it with Nils Lundqvist. And he did something he normally doesn't do with trading a first round draft pick for Lundqvist. And even that wasn't able to work out for him. So it'd be tough to get bit twice trying to find the same player, you know?
I don't want to say it hasn't worked out. It just hasn't worked out the way he's wanted it to. Lundqvist can still be a top four guy, but he's not a top pairing guy.
Supposed to be a top pair guy with Miro. I feel like in 3 years, I feel like that was the plan for him.
Yes, agreed. And that's also a good point, Nate, over here in the chat. We all hated Nils, and now he's growing on us. Yeah. Because he's playing ridiculous hockey. This is his best season as a Dallas Star. It's just really unfortunate that he's doing this, and he was doing it while injured. Like he was playing with an injury, and he was playing really well. And because of the lack of Dumba not living up to what we were hoping for and what Jim Nantz was hoping for based off of that $3 million contract, he kind of helped Jim Nantz a lot and kind of save his britches a little bit with that re-signing of Nils Lundqvist, which we were all shocked by. We all thought he was done. And he re-signs him, and he was a top four defenseman, basically playing for $1.5 million or whatever he's getting. So, and that's another thing that with this team is Nils Lundqvist going to be back for the playoffs? Because right now he's on LTIR, and I don't think that he's going to get back.
No, they said he was out for the season.
So that really sucks too. And is he done? When we've talked about that as well. So, okay. So Chris, let me ask you this. If you want to go that route and you want to add more offense to the Stars, what players are you looking at? There's Brock Besser, there's Brock Nelson, there's also Casey Mittelstadt, I guess, from Colorado. I don't think that would happen. Dylan Cousins with the Buffalo Sabres. Is there any other names that I'm not saying that you're thinking of?
Nelson's still the guy that I'm looking at as.
So is the rest of the NHL.
If you want to. Right. A lot of other people are looking at him too. But now that the Islanders are finally kind of gesturing that they're actually selling, it appears like he's a lot more feasible to get. It's gonna be a massive overpay. It's gonna be like Granlund CeCe. A lot of people didn't think you'd get a first rounder for Granlund and CeCe, and that's just what it is in this season. So for rentals, it's expensive. So if it's a first rounder for Brock Nelson, that hurts. I mean, I don't know if you can do that, but the market might ask it for that.
Yeah, this was something we thought. I mean, with Chris Tanev too, though. Chris Tanev, we thought everyone was going to look at him and try to, I mean, everyone thought it was going to be a bidding war, and the Stars got him for relatively cheap. So really it comes down to is this a place Noah Dobson wants to be? Because sometimes GMs do take that into account. And how much do the Islanders really want? Because I'm sure they got players they got their eyes on too, young prospects who they want to look for. And if Dallas has a couple of them that they're willing to part with, I mean, it can always work out.
Yeah, and that's where the Tanev one is a little bit different. We had Grushnikov, and for whatever reason, Calgary really wanted Grushnikov. So the Stars got kind of lucky in that situation, I feel like.
From my standpoint, there's also not very many defensemen out there that I would.
No, it's just dry. It's a dry market.
There's nothing there.
Yes.
There's
nothing. Well, I still don't understand the whole Seth Jones thing. That still keeps coming up. I still keep hearing about it. Like, oh, well, it's still there. It's you know, there's still rumors out there. I'm just like, there's no way that. The Jim Nantz would take on that contract unless they basically gave up a third round pick and that's all they got.
It would have to be like a fleece for the Stars.
It would have to be an absolute fleece. Yes. But even then, giving up a third round pick or a fourth round pick, is that worth it? You know,
I mean, if you're trading Dumba back the other way,
right?
I guess we get rid of one bad contract to take on another bad contract, but he's not as bad a player and can play more minutes.
Theoretically. Yeah.
Theoretically, that's what it is. Chris, there's Ristolainen, but he's not playing in the Four Nations tournament because he's injured. So, I mean, if we go out and trade for him, is he going to be able to play?
Yeah. Who knows? But that's the way this market is right now. It's just there's not a lot, and what is available is going to cost a lot.
And I mean, those are the only two guys that I would. Now, that one's kind of interesting. Sorry, I'm looking at Daily Faceoff's trade target board. At number 10, Jamie Oleksiak. Now, he's not right-handed.
But who cares at this point, though? Is he even a UFA?
Yeah. 1 year remaining, $4.6 million AAV.
Sure, let's go get Oleksiak back. Why not?
That'd be fun.
And he's 6'7".
But
can you imagine him and Bischel together? That would be so much fun.
Meatball.
To wrap this up, though, there's a ton of room for Nil to do something. And adding in either direction, if he adds a forward or if he adds a defenseman, it's the right move. It makes us better. So I think he'd be foolish not to do something else. So I'm expecting something to happen probably after the tournament.
Oh, here's another one that's really interesting, Chris, is Yanni Gourde. That might be really interesting.
I don't want Yanni Gourde.
You don't want Yanni Gourde?
No, we have a Jimmy Benn. We don't need Yanni Gourde.
Okay. Anything else, guys?
Nope, that's it for trades.
Okay.
Nil's got it. He's got he's got space, and he's just got to find the right move.
So we all agree that he's not done. James, you're on the fence.
I'm on the fence.
Okay. What do you think Nil will do?
I don't think he's going to do anything. But should he? Yes. If he does anything, it's probably going to be like a seventh defenseman trade to get Matt Dumba out of here.
Yeah.
Tall guy and rollerblades for Dumba.
Hey. We'll take an equipment manager at this point. Someone takes that contract from us?
Yes.
Send some Tootsie Rolls to him, too.
Did he get 2 years or three? I always forget.
James?
Who?
Dumba. Did he get two or three?
He got two.
Oh, thank gosh. Okay. That's a little bit better. Okay. We are doing our Who Cares segment for the evening. James, you can go and look at the Discord. Okay. In the Discord, there is a channel where you can make a suggestion for our Who Cares segment, and we take your suggestions each and every week. James, what are we doing?
Okay, so this is from Martin C. in the Discord. We are doing your top three hot drinks.
Hot drinks.
Hot drinks.
Huh.
Yeah. Good luck.
All right.
Oh, boy. This ought to be interesting.
James, number third.
My number third is going to be tea. Hot tea. I really like hot tea. I don't know why. Around here, it's all iced tea and cold tea. I love hot tea. It is the best thing ever.
Brian, number third.
We're both here to put it up. You mean you weren't prepared for this, Chris?
No, yeah, I'm slacking. That's my bad.
Okay. My number three is chamomile tea. And I'm going to be a little specific here.
Bro likes drinking flowers.
It's not flowers, Chris. You ignoramus. When Amanda and I went to England for our 5-year anniversary trip, we went to this little village called Amberley. And Amberley had this little place called the Black Stallion. And it was like a little pub/bar thing. And they had like all these different kinds of teas that I had never had before. And I had real hot chamomile tea for the first time with brown sugar. And it was absolutely incredible. That's my number three. Chris.
All right. I'm gonna break up coffee. That way I can actually express my opinions. So number third is going to be drip coffee, but while you're eating breakfast at a diner or a brunch place. So bottomless drip coffee from one of those little mugs. That's nice. I drink like four mugs of that in like 5 minutes. And then I'm just wired the rest of the day. But it's delicious.
What about like IHOP? You like IHOP's coffee?
No. IHOP was literally the worst place you could have picked. Everybody, just think of your local brunch place. That's where I like it.
That's why I asked. Some people like the IHOP coffee. Like, I think Mimi and Pop like the IHOP coffee, which I'm a little bit surprised about, but they do.
All right, moving on. Kay. James.
So my number third is
second.
My number second, because I went first.
Right.
You see,
great job, guys. I'm gonna go with is going so well.
I'm gonna go with a drink from Starbucks. I don't know which one, but one of those.
Whichever one his wife hands him. That's the one he likes. Yep.
Sometimes I just, you know, I'm like, that one.
Do you think he actually likes coffee in his coffee, Chris?
It's okay.
Like a it's frappuccino. Do you think he would drink a frappuccino?
Oh, James will kill a frappuccino.
Well, that's not really a hot drink, but he said some Starbucks.
He likes those sweet girly drinks, I bet.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, sweet girly drinks are great.
Yeah, caramel macchiato, slapping.
Yeah, I've had one of those.
Yeah.
I can imagine him drinking like a
sweet warm milk.
Is it actually called pink drink?
The pink drink.
I've had it one time.
No coffee at all in it, though.
I know. It was
literally no coffee. You're literally just drinking sugar water.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. Although,
all right. Like, anyway, Ryan, number second.
Sorry, I'm going way off topic here. Okay, my number second. I refuse to go to Starbucks because their coffee is outrageously expensive. So I'm just going to go to the second most expensive place where a lot of people go to buy their coffee. McDonald's, their large hot mocha, it's right there. I love their large hot mocha. I get it quite often, probably at least like once every 2 or 3 weeks or so. That is my number second.
Okay. Has anyone noticed that like the normal coffee from McDonald's has gotten absolutely disgusting though?
It's terrible.
It is legitimately undrinkable. I don't know what happened. It used to be like gas station coffee and it's like you could drink it, but it is disgusting now. I don't know what they did.
But it's different when you get the actual like beans.
No,
the espresso is from the store.
So like your mocha is different because they do the espresso and it's fine. I think it's disgustingly sweet, but it's fine. But their drip coffee
depends on who you have.
Is terrible.
Anyways, yeah. Okay, Chris, what's your number two?
My number two is hot chocolate. It's delicious. I love hot chocolate. That's James. All I have. James, number first.
Okay. My number first is hot chocolate. Okay. Hot Great chocolate answer. Is the best thing ever. I drink it all year round. I don't care. If it's summer, 100 degrees outside, someone offers me hot chocolate, you best believe I'm drinking that hot chocolate. I mean, that stuff is just so good. Ardell in the comments was like, just milk. I mean, I don't care. It can be milk, water, anything. As long as it's hot chocolate, love that stuff. There's marshmallows in there. Amazing.
Okay, that's where I'm going to push back on you because my number one is also hot chocolate, but specifically Mexican hot chocolate. Mexican hot chocolate is better than regular white people hot chocolate, okay?
What makes it Mexican? And
I have no idea, but it's a million times better. I could not tell you. But I will push back on you, James. If you make it with water, it still does not taste as good as if you did it with milk. I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's fair.
I just love hot chocolate. I don't care if it's water or milk. It's amazing no matter what.
But it's better with milk.
James doesn't care.
It's better if I'm drinking it.
Face. Yeah.
It's better. I'm just at least trying to get him to admit that. Chris, what's your number one?
The number one is the latte. It is delicious. I am such a white girl for lattes. They are amazing. We have a mocha pot just so that I can have lattes. And Elizabeth makes me my lattes. And it is fantastic. I love them.
How often do you drink one? Like every day?
No, not very often because, you know, they're bad for you, but maybe every other day because, man, those lattes are good. And when they do the holiday specials at the Starbucks and they get those pretty cups, they got the chestnut praline latte. Oh, man, the chestnut praline latte is the most underrated Starbucks drink in the history of mankind. You just wait. You wait for December and y'all go get yourselves a chestnut praline latte. We're a long way away, so set a reminder.
Well, I didn't even know that existed, to be totally honest with you. So I'm going to have to
put
that on my to-do list to drink. I don't know why, but I actually tried peppermint mocha for the first time this past Christmas. I actually thought it was okay. Terrible. I thought it was a little overhyped, but
you like brushing your teeth while you drink your mocha? That's nasty.
It's like sweaters on your teeth, like when you drink like Coca-Cola.
Just like mint chocolate, Chris. Don't you love mint chocolate?
Yeah, right, Chris?
Nastiness. Like brushing your teeth while you're eating chocolate. If you like mint chocolate, you're lying. You're a part of a conspiracy, and you should feel bad about yourself.
You see, now, James, you got him Stop going lying. Now.
That's the point. That's what I wanted.
There's no way y'all like mint chocolate. It's
amazing.
Nice. Do you also like drinking orange juice after you brush your teeth?
Sometimes.
Like, this no.
Okay, that's such a lie, James.
I will not be gaslit. This is disgusting.
Sometimes mint chocolate is the best. It really is. Like, especially after, I don't know why it's Olive Garden or whatever, but like they have those Andes mints after you eat Olive Garden, and it's like the perfect like palate, the perfect little like cherry on top to your meal at Olive Garden.
Right. After all your delicious Olive Garden, the thing I need is the nastiest thing I can imagine in my mouth. That's exactly correct. What a genius take.
Chris is dying alone on this hill.
I will die a million times over on this hill because it is Thin mints are the nastiest thing that has ever been invented in the face of Earth. All
Chris
you people
very
who say
strong
you like
opinions
it are
about
you are
chocolate
being cool.
Mint.
You are being marketed to, and you are just falling into the trap that you like it. They're just crunchy, and they make your mouth anti-spicy. That's what you like about them. And you think they're delicious? No.
Wrong. See, James, he could go on for another 5 minutes at least. It's like
I could have an anti-mint chocolate podcast. I could go every week, just go through a different snack.
Well, you made that one change.org petition. You should just
You're
do
right.
that with
another petition.
Go All do right. it. Go do it right now. He's working on that right now.
Check out doing... there.
I'll close the show. I'm gonna make a petition. I'll see y'all next week.
And by the way, guys, we appreciate y'all so much. We just recently released our new membership club, our Who Cares Club. And the biggest thing we want y'all to know about this is don't worry, nothing is gonna be behind a paywall or anything like that. There was just some people who were asking me, hey, what can we do to help support you guys to do this? And that kind of led me to do that. I asked for some feedback from some people, and based off of that feedback, it was overwhelmingly that they would be willing to do it. So a lot of the people who are already members of the WCC are scrolling in the bottom of the screen if you're watching on YouTube. So thank you, Zachary Mitchell, Ryan Gardner, David Chambers, the Patriarch, Zachary Chambers, Brett, brother number two, Martin Crooms over in the UK, by the way, Katrina Brandenburg, Tracy Chambers, Cindy Graber, Rob Graber, Deborah Starling, and Ardell. For all being members, they are our OG members of the WCC, and they will be that for the eternity of time. You can go and join said club by going to the StarcasticRemarks.com website and find where it says membership. And, you can click on the link there if you would like to do so. Again, this is not a solicitation of, you know, we're going to put something behind a paywall or anything like that. Everything's going to continue being free and everything like that. But if you would like to support us in what we do, we would appreciate you guys to do that. Chris is still not back. I thought he would be back by the time he's I was done doing that. I thought he would be back, but he's still not.
He'll be back when he's done.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be back when he's done. Thank you guys so much for everything that you guys do for us, for following along live with us here tonight. There's even more of you who are listening afterwards. Please consider clicking like and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that notification bell so you don't miss an episode of Starcastic Remarks. If you're listening on the audio side, please consider leaving us a 5-star review wherever you may be listening to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, iHeartRadio. And as always, thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, for being our sponsor. That promo code is THPN. Please go and use that the next time you are there using those services. Alongside James, Chris is still not back. My name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening, and we'll be back with you guys again very, very shortly. Thank you guys so much for all the support that you guys have shown us over the last 4 or 5 years.